Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. You're listening to Battle of New Orleans Radio. We just had Mr. Sonny Thomas of the Sonny Thomas Show. Go check him out at Resolution Radio. Now we have our next guest, Mr. William Fink of ChristianGenia.org. That's ChristianGenia.org. Christianity for the Thinking Man. He is a historian and a biblical scholar. Look, Mr. Fink, we had one of our listeners, Richie, who, you know, kind of suggested that we get you on, and I started looking at some of your information, and it's very...
Christianity for the thinking man.
Yeah, for the thinking man. There you go, Goyim. So anyway, Bill, we're really glad to have you on the show. We tried to get you on a couple weeks ago. There was some technical difficulties, but that's neither here nor there. So welcome, Bill. How you doing tonight?
Hello, Nathan. Thank you for having me, and praise Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, Bill, for the people that don't know what Christian identity is, can you please explain? Please elaborate.
Well, Christian identity, it is the study of the peoples of the Bible. It's the studies of the origins of the race of the Bible, and I will say race in the singular, and the nations that came from that race. And we can fully identify those people in all throughout ancient history up to modern times today. The Jews are not God's chosen people,
what?
Not by any means. They are historically the enemies of God and Christ. They infiltrated and usurped ancient Judea in the end of the 2nd century B.C. So Christ told them, you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. And the word of God is a racial word, and God is a racist. And I don't say that in the evil, wicked sense of men in white sheets who are coming to lynch you if you are not of the right race. I say that because God is the author of race, and his law is kind after kind. The Bible demands racial separatism. Baptist preachers taught racial separatism until about 60 years ago, when they were forced by the government to start teaching integration and the idea that all the races should mix together. And they've been teaching that by force ever since. The mixing of the races is going to lead to the destruction of all races and the demise of our society. And that lesson should be learned from ancient history, from ancient Egypt, from ancient Greece, from ancient Persia, from ancient Assyria, and from ancient Babylon. It's the same errors of history that we're repeating today. This diversity, multiculturalism, it's nothing new. Egypt was the greatest of nations. And after it became diverse in multiculturalism, and I could show you in Egyptian inscriptions that in the Old Kingdom, the Egyptians did not recognize other races as people. But in the Middle Kingdom, when Egypt became an empire, and this is the natural course that all empires have taken, they created the designation for the other races that made them equal, just like they did with the 14th Amendment here in the United States 150 years ago, and that led to the demise of Egypt and the fall of Egypt as the greatest nation.
Interesting, Bill. Well, listen, if anybody wants to call, and this is Goyim, by the way, you can call in and talk to Bill Fink directly, 504-556-9696. We have about a good 40 minutes left on the show. If anybody's interested to talk and ask some questions to him on his take on things. You know, my personal question to you, Bill, is this. You know, you've always heard that Jews are the chosen people, and that, you know, obviously, I guess with that comes some kind of sense that no matter what they do, right or wrong, that I guess they would go to heaven. And what are you saying? Are they prone to judgment from a Christian standpoint? Can they be judged and sent to hell just like, I say, a Christian or a Muslim? Or is that not the case for them in their eyes or in your eyes or what? It's really confusing to me.
Well, there were promises made to Abraham in 2000 B.C., and the nations that came from Abraham's seed are not Jews. a lot of those people were in Judea at the time of Christ, but those people were not technically the Jews of today. The Jews of today are descended from the Edomites and Canaanites of Scripture, the people of God's curse. All throughout medieval history, and I have documentation of this in medieval England, in Norman times, as well as in the Anglo-Saxon kingdom, which preceded it, Jews were depicted as devils. In the 13th and 14th century, however, Jews began converting to Christianity, converting to Catholicism, and through their command of finance, because they were the world's usurers, and there are historical reasons for that, that they were allowed to do that, because usury was outlawed and Christians were never allowed to practice it, the Jews were able to infiltrate the Roman Catholic Church and began producing all of the popular printed Bible commentaries, because Jews were able to command the use of the printing presses. They ran the media in the 1500s just like they do today. And Jews such as Nicholas of Lyra and Paul of Burgos wrote Bible commentaries that formed the modern Judeo concept of Christianity, which is basically the best Christianity that Jewish money can buy. But it's not true apostolic Christianity, which compels Christians to reject those who deny Christ. That the words of Christ were that no one gets to the Father except through me. There are no other legitimate religions. But on the other hand, Christ came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, none of whom were Jews. And if you don't understand the ancient history of the Israelites and those nations which truly came from Abraham's loins, you'll never find the keys to history. Once you find this key, all history makes sense. Everything going on in the world today makes sense. As Satan told Christ, I have command of all these kingdoms, and I'll give control of them to whoever I want to. That was because the money powers, the dragon, which gives its power to the beast in Revelation chapter 13, the money powers that control kings forever. And the founders of this nation tried to dispose of both the nobility and the money powers. And it wasn't long before the First Bank of the United States, the Second Bank of the United States, international Jewish financiers tried to control America. Andrew Jackson threw them out. The result was the Civil War. The Civil War was the direct result of Andrew Jackson throwing the Jews out of the money.
I thought it was about slavery.
Oh, no, it was nothing about slavery.
That's what I learned in class.
Right, of course you did.
I got tricked.
But the Emancipation Proclamation wasn't issued until 1863, almost 4 years after the start of the war. And Abraham Lincoln only declared the slaves in the slave states, the slaves in the rebel states free. There were all sorts of slaves in the Yankee states. They weren't declared free. Now, some of the states individually had set slaves free on their own initiative. But Abraham Lincoln only declared the slaves in the rebel states free. And that was a bait-and-switch tactic to use the blacks in those states against the whites, that the blacks would be willing to fight on the side of the North. That was only a political move. He didn't care about those slaves. If he'd have cared about them, he'd have set them free in 1860.
Interesting.
Until 1863.
Well, look, listen, we're going to be coming to a break shortly, Mr. Fink. Really interesting topic. You know, this is something a longtime listener of ours, Richie, suggests. He's a big fan of yours. He suggested for months for us to get you on the show. We're glad to have you on and having your viewpoint. Again, that's what our show's about. We have different opinions from every side. We've had, you know, a Black Panther on the show. We've had David Duke. Now we have Bill Fink on, and we'll be right back after this break. Battle of New Orleans Radio, 990 AM. All right, we are back. This is Goyim, Battle of New Orleans Radio. We are with our guest, Bill Fink. He's on the air. If anybody wants to call in, we have a couple callers on right now. Again, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 504-556-9696. Bill, are you okay with taking a couple phone calls? Hello, Bill.
Fine, that's fine.
All right, Bill. Okay, we're going to go to line number two. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Go ahead. You're on the air with Bill Fink, Ballon New Orleans Radio.
Okay, Mr. Fink?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. You said the magic word a little while ago. I think you started to fill up the blanks for me. I was very interested in your interpretation. When you use the word dragon, I think you said, if I'm not mistaken, if I can believe what I heard, that you said that the word is inferences are an awful lot to do with money or economic power.
In the scripture, the dragon is actually an allegory for what we know today as international Jewry and the international banking system, which was built and founded by Jews. And they weren't always called Jews in history, but throughout scripture they're referred to as Leviathan, the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden, Satan, his fallen angels, and they are the powers behind the dragon. Just as Satan bragged, the devil bragged to Christ in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, that he had command of the nations of the world, the international financial class, and I'll call them a class, but they are indeed a race, have always known that they could control governments through their financial instruments, through their financial power. Christianity, for 1,500 years or longer, had forbidden Christians from loaning money at interest or from borrowing money at interest. It forbid usury. And Christian writers throughout the Middle Ages had warned kings about the international financial class, which was mostly made up of Jews but included some non-Jews, that were controlling nations and principalities and causing them to war against one another. Thomas Aquinas had written Margaret, the Duchess of Flanders, and told her that the Jews shouldn't be able to keep any of their money because they gained it all through usury, and no one should be able to keep what he stole. Usury, even by Greek philosophers, was considered stealing.
And Bill, my take on it, and we'll get back to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
What reinforces a lot of what this gentleman is saying. Years ago, and I don't know how many years ago, probably 13, 14 years ago, I remember seeing a new version that the British had on, I'm not sure what station, it was about Ivanhoe. You know, the classic novel, Ivanhoe? And at the end of the story, I was very, very shocked when I heard it. The old Jewish man who was the father of Rebecca, he was telling the father of Ivanhoe that if you're running a business and I'm your business partner, but I see you messing the business up financially, you can be sure that I will eventually take it over from you because I know how to make it financially work. And that was actually in this version of Ivanhoe that I heard and I saw on television. My jaw dropped. I didn't think I would ever hear that.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call. We have a couple other calls online. And Caleb, are you on the line there from Ohio? You had a question for Bill Fink? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Bill. Yeah, I'm listening here. Everything that's being said and everything, I found it very interesting, to say the least. What do you think about Jews and that? You know, it does say in the New Testament that, you know, they are not all Jews who are Jews. I think Jesus is more interested in the circumcision of the heart, you know, versus that of the flesh, because his kingdom, of course, is a spiritual kingdom. It's not, you know, it's not all about, you know, it's peace, joy, and love in the Holy Ghost. And as far as the Christian identity is concerned, you know, the Bible does say that when we are born again, that He makes us a new creation. He creates who he is inside of who we are. That's how, because he shares his holiness, his character with us. That's as we draw closer to God, we become more like Him. That's what holiness is really all about. What do you think about that aspect of Christian identity on the spiritual side of things?
Well, what I think is that we would have to go through the entire New Testament and not only understand the real meanings of the Greek words, but also the real biblical context in which they were written. Because born again, that phrase does not appear in Greek. In fact, in John 3:31, the same exact word is properly translated where it says born from above.
Right, right.
One race which God created, which is born from above, and that's the Adamic race, which has His spirit. Out of that wider race, which was many other nations, God chose these children of Israel, who are not Jews, who were never Jews. And that's that. All of that history is spelled out on my website. It would take me 6 hours to give it here. I can, off the top of my head, with all the necessary citations, but it wouldn't be expedient on this radio program. I would run out of time real quick. But the
anybody can be born from above, though. When the Spirit of Christ comes upon us.
That's not true. The Scripture does not say that anybody can be born from above.
Well, those who place their faith in Christ.
Born of the Spirit and of the flesh, and the Spirit is sown, as Paul of Tarsus says, a natural seed and raised a spiritual seed. The spirit of man is formed within the Adamic man, as Zechariah says in Zechariah chapter 12. You cannot say that anybody can be born from above simply because they may exhibit good behavior. That's not true. In fact, many people confess Jesus.
It's all about God's grace.
And get away
about
from
how good we are, so to speak.
It is not how good we are. It's who we are, because it's salvation and the afterlife and the resurrection are factors of God's creation, not of man's imagination.
Yeah, the resurrection, obviously, it's all based on what Christ, the work that He did for us on the cross, and also through the power of His resurrection.
What did He do for us on the cross? He died on behalf of the children of Israel because they were under the law and had to be released from the law. Paul explains that in Romans chapter 7.
Yeah, but He also died for the sins of all humanity, not just for one race, the Jews.
He died for the sins of all humanity. What sin is? Sin is violation
sin
and transgression of the
law. Sin is a human problem, not just a Jewish problem.
The children of Israel were given the law. Where does it say He died? Everybody else can sin. Paul says that where there is no law, there is no sin. Who else was given the law but the children of Israel, as it explicitly states in the 138th Psalm, that only the children of Israel were given the law? He has not dealt so with any other nation. So your Christianity is based upon some false premises that we can straighten out if we accept that the Scripture is the authority. If you want to tell me anybody can sin, you're wrong, because Paul said where there is no law, there is no sin, and only the children of Israel were given a law according to the Scripture.
Why did the Holy Spirit send the apostles to the Gentile nations then to take the gospel outside of the Jewish realm and into the Gentile races?
Gentiles is a made-up word. He didn't send the Holy Spirit to Gentiles. He sent the Holy Spirit to the nations, and as Paul explains in Romans chapter 4, those nations were the people of the seed of Abraham. The promise is certain to all the seed which came from Abraham's loins.
So, Bill, does that mean my name Goyim is fictitious and made up? That's my name on the show, Goyim.
I understand why you use the term Goyim, and that's fine, but the word Goyim is plural for the Hebrew word goy. Originally, it does not mean non-Jews. Originally, it just a goy is a nation.
Interesting. So I've offended no one. Great.
Sarah was told, two goy are in thy womb, meaning Jacob and Esau, two different nations.
And what's the term? What does Edomite mean exactly? Because the one time I was in New York and I was getting screamed at by these African-American men who were claiming they were Edomites or something. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
The black Hebrew Israelites.
In Times Square, they were screaming at me.
And they're totally off the wall, and I swear.
They're kind of funny, kind of rude at the same time, and they're all over YouTube. Anyways, We're coming to a break. Bill Fink is on the show. If anybody wants to call in, 504-556-9696. Richie on line two. We're going to get to you after the break. Again, if anybody wants to call in and talk to Bill Fink, he's going to be on for about two more segments. You're here on Battle of New Orleans Radio, 990 AM. We'll be right back.
You can check out his site,
christiangenia.org. On WGSO.
All right, we're back. Battle of New Orleans Radio with our special guest, Bill Fink. Again, we're taking calls, 504-556-9696. We have about two segments left. We're going to go to line number two. I think that's the correct line, producer. Line number two. Richie on the line? Go ahead, Richie.
Good evening, everyone. Praise Yahweh.
Oh, hey, how's it going, Richie?
Okay, great, Nathan and Doy. And Bill, hey, it's Germanicus.
Hello, Richard. I know. I recognize your voice.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I'm really glad you accepted the invitation from Nathan and Goy to come on the show. What riveting radio. Great enlightenment and the blessing of the word of Yahweh. Bill, would you take a moment to contrast the futurist prophecy revelation book? You hear a lot about the three-year tribulation and the Antichrist and, the 144,000. Could you give a good Christian identity contrast to that take on the revelation and the what they call the futurist or the evangelical take on that?
Well, the evangelical take on the revelation is a fairy tale. The original reformers were historicists. They understood that the prophecy in the Word of God was unfolding in history. They weren't correct about everything, and neither are we going to be, because we can really only be correct about what prophecy has already been fulfilled. But I could walk you through the revelation and show you that most of the revelation is already fulfilled. It's been fulfilled as history's progressed. The Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, all the other books of the prophets are history written in advance, but we cannot look at it and tell the future. We could tell general trends that are going to happen in the future, but we can't really understand how it's going to happen. For instance, in Revelation chapter 18, we're told that Babylon, Mystery Babylon, is going to fall. Mystery Babylon, and this can be proven by a complete understanding of the first 17 chapters of the Revelation and the older books of the prophets, along with all of the ancient history. And you have to have a good grounding in history to understand prophecy, because if prophecy is history in advance and you don't understand the last 3,500 years of history, how are you going to understand the prophecy? How are you going to do that? You can't. Mystery Babylon is this global economic system and this global central banking system that we have right now, and it is going to fall, and I can't tell when, because prophecy is not written to see the future. Prophecy is written so that we could read it and look back and know that God is true, and God is true. Now, this description with 7 years in the future and an Antichrist is a joke. It's created so that pastors can abrogate their responsibility to teach history and the Word of God properly. These Jews that, and I'm not saying all Jews, because most Jews aren't involved. Most Jews are just little cogs in the wheel of the system. But these banking families, these Jewish banking families that control this world through the central banking system, they are descended, along with most Jews, from the Edomites of the Bible. And this system is going to fall. Hmm. And they are going to the allegorical lake of fire. Now, they have been behind all of our governments and all of our wars for 1,500 years. When they were expelled from the Christian Roman Empire, they were ostracized from it. They brought the Moors in. They brought the Turks in. They brought the Arabs in, and they invented Islam. The Jews, and I can prove this, the Jews invented Islam in the deserts of Arabia in the 6th century A.D. and they used Islam to militarize the Arab peoples who were excluded from the Christian world, to militarize them and make war against Christianity, and they've been using them for that purpose ever since. They use them for that purpose today.
Interesting. And listen, question on the Khazari region. I always want a clarification on that, but that's an interesting take on, you know, the creation of Islam. And, you know, again, great call, Richie. We have another caller on the line. Phil, are you there?
Yes, I am. This is Phil the Patriot. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You're on the air with Bill Fink.
This is possibly one of the best shows you've ever had. I got to give you all kudos over there. And the first thing I want to state is y'all were talking about Black Lives Matter. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Black Lives Matter is an evil domestic terrorist organization.
George Soros.
Funded by George Soros.
Real last name Schwartz.
And not only that, Ku Klux Klan Parenthood is another domestic terrorist organization that's been operating in the United States for many years now.
Claiborne Avenue.
The ACLU, the Anti-Christian Luciferian Lunatic Union, is another evil domestic terrorist organization in our country. Not only that, the Southern Poverty Law Center is another evil domestic terrorist organization. And I can tell you, last but not least, there's the fabulous Fascist Five that's been calling this radio station in Jekyll for many, many years. They are a radio propaganda terrorist organization that is, you know, running interference with Barack Obama, and they attack all the people that are telling the truth to try to destroy their credibility. And the last thing I want to say is I personally hold New Norman accountable for the two deaths of the people that were born here in this country by an illegal alien named Dennis Amayo Rodriguez. And I think he needs to be reprimanded, and I think that the people, the Chauvin family, ought to sue New Norman and teach him a lesson so all these other sheriffs around the world and around this country will not allow these people to kill our people.
All right, Phil, thank you. All right, listen, we got one more caller, Mark from Metairie. Oh, actually, he just disconnected on us. Caleb, are you there from Ohio?
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
Oh, listen, Caleb had one more question for you, Bill Fink. Just to clarify, we only have about maybe 3-4 more minutes. But go ahead. Go ahead and clarify your question, sure. Caleb.
Sure, thank you, Bill. Just real quick, I know when God made his covenant with Abraham, he did tell him that through you and your seed that all nations of the earth would be blessed. And that we know what I was trying to ask you earlier is that the Holy Spirit sent the apostles to preach the gospel to the other Gentile nations. And in his great commission, he was sending them starting in Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and then up to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then also in John 3:16, which we all know, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only one.
Caleb, let Bill respond because we're about to run out of time. Go ahead, Bill.
He's trying to get me bogged down in all these minute religious arguments when he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I would ask him to go read my website. Those nations that the apostles went to were all the physical descendants of the seed of Abraham. They all came from the ancient Israelites, and the apostles did not go to any nations which were not from the ancient Israelites. So you will not find an epistle of Paul to the Arabians. You will not find an epistle of Paul to the Egyptians. You will not find an epistle of Paul to all the nations of Africa or Asia because none of them descended from the ancient Israelites.
Hey, Bill, we got about 30 seconds left, so any plugs last second? I know we ran out of time. You got some really interesting stuff. So what you got, man? Anything to plug your information to the nation that's listening right now?
I would just like to say real quick, your previous caller talking about these crime rings, these Jewish crime rings, these organizations, it's because World Jewry is the Antichrist. That's the point I was trying to get before. They are the Antichrist. They are our punishment. That's why we're having these problems in the world today. That's why we're being swamped with Muslims by Jews like George Soros. And my website is christogenia.org, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-G-E-N-E-A. You could misspell it any way you want. Google will still come up with it.
That's right.
7,000 visitors a month. And
Christogenia.org, christogenia.org. All right, we'll be back next week. Battle of New Orleans Radio.
Hey, Bill, really appreciate it. We'll have you back on soon, and we can continue this debate. Some very interesting topics. Battle of New Orleans Radio. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Thanks, Caleb.
See y'all next week.